Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I have a joy. The joy is of bringing the gospel to people and speaking the word of God in all sorts of places. Here, I can just give you a brief outline of what I've been talking about or about to talk about to different people. But I want to share with you that there is great joy in being a Christian. I'm hoping that you will find yourself in a position where you can receive this sort of talking and teaching. We read, for instance, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples in the midst of a very morbid time. He was about to be crucified. He had told them he was going to be crucified, and they couldn't believe him, and they didn't understand him. And he seemed to be talking in riddles, and yet they just didn't know because he was not saying the things that they wanted to hear. And they needed to hear that the Lord Jesus was saying, I am being crucified to save the world, to save all who will believe in me. Now, it's relatively easy for us to see historically that they were wrong and Jesus obviously was right. But we come to a place now in John 15 and verse 11 where Jesus says this, and it's very beautiful, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And they couldn't understand him. How could our joy be made full in his crucifixion? And they were a little bewildered and a little hurt. They didn't know what to say to him. Well, the Christian life is full of remarkable things. One is that Jesus never leaves us and he never forsakes us and he never turns his back on us. I was listening to the testimony of someone who was saying that I'm not following Jesus today because he didn't come through for me yesterday. What did they mean? All our prayers are answered, even if it's a no. It seems to me that that person was listening to a no in prayer. So you're guided by Jesus saying, in a sense, no, don't do this, don't go there. But we have joy. He gives us our daily bread. He looks after us. He gives us strength when we have no strength. He gives us joy. And nobody can take that joy from us. So I want to speak with you about the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is the gospel. Now the Holy Spirit gives us the Spirit of Christ, and he enters into us and causes us to rejoice in Jesus greatly. If there's a fault, it's never in him. It's always in us. We don't understand or we haven't taken it in. We don't understand what should be, could be, might be, and so on. And so we get ourselves into a great pickle of worrying and fussing and frustrations. And people have told me, well, I'm just frustrated and I'm angry. Why? Why? The day is the Lord's and he will lead us through it. The day has the strength of the Lord and he will give it. The day is full of the Lord and he keeps us from falling. There are many a time, I'm sure, in your life and experience that you have been almost doing something, almost going somewhere, and for some reason, everything falls flat, everything stops, and nothing seems to be working right. And so we have a terrible time because we think we're at fault and God is punishing us. God doesn't punish us like he should. His love overwhelms it. Why, grace is bigger than all the sin in the world. I may have been a terrible person, but believing in Jesus, I have the grace of God within my heart. The blood of Jesus washes me, and the love of God is poured out all over us if we'll only stop long enough to receive it and allow it to work in our hearts. It works in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, first of all, I want to share with you from Ephesians 5, and in verses 18 and 19, and in Romans 5 and 11, we read in these scriptures wonderful things. Our life has been changed. We now have a life that is altered into a different dimension. We've not been turning over a new leaf. We've been changed. We've been changed by the love of God. We've been changed by the hope that is dwelling in our hearts. We are changed. And the change has taken place. Jesus is our Savior. And this wonderful Savior is ours. Be careful of wrong stimulants. Music can stimulate you. You can say, oh, it was a wonderful service. I was moved because of the music. Be careful, because that's a stimulus that isn't the Word of God. And we need to be very careful in our worship and in our fellowship, one with the other. And it must be only through Jesus that we correspond. It must be our Lord Jesus. It will not satisfy us. Music drifts away, and soon I have forgotten the words, or I can't recall the entire tune. I never thought I would struggle to remember the tunes of hymns. Hymns that I love. Hymns that I've sung for, years upon years, since I was a little fellow in Sunday school. I thought I'd never have difficulty, but now I'm older, every once in a while, I have no hymn to sing, and that bothers me. The stimulant of the hymn, and I love hymns. I love to sing hymns. I love to lift my heart up before the Lord Jesus, and I love to be reminded through the hymns that Jesus is on his throne, and Jesus remembers his own, and Jesus will never forsake us, and Jesus holds us close, oh, so close. We, on the other hand, drift around. We see something that is appealing, and we dash after it. It's a curious thing that happens. Joy that is from the Lord Jesus has a fullness about it. In 16:24 of John, we discover the words that are really tremendously beautiful. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. Jesus is speaking the same discourse, and this is a place where he breaks off and says this to them within the discourse. He says, I want you to understand, be aware that I am the Son of God, and I want you to be full of the figurative language of joy. Now, we find it's exceeding beautiful to have the joy of the Lord within our hearts, because we do suffer. There is suffering. We need exceeding great and beautiful joy that is beyond us completely beyond us. Look at Peter in his first epistle, chapter 4 and 13, is beyond description to know the joy of the Lord. And I have to ask you, do you have this joy in your heart? Is your heart throbbing with the joy of the Lord? It is obtained only in Jesus, the Lord. There is nowhere else to go for this ecstatic joy. There's nowhere else to go for this joy that counterbalances the morbidity of the day in which we live. If you go to Romans 15 and 13, you discover the God of hope fill you with all joy. The Apostle Paul is saying, this is what I'm praying for you, that you'll be filled with the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that you've got joy deep in your heart, joy that is bubbling out. You're sort of effervescent, continually filled with joy. Marriages would not break if this joy was seated in the hearts of the people involved in the marriage. If he and she could get together and understand that they have been born again to have joy in their life, there would be nothing to stop people from rejoicing in Jesus. Well, now, let me take you to the second thought, which brings up a subject. Joy because sins are washed away, our future is bright with eternal life. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, says the Word of God. Now, I know from personal experience, I'm sure some of you do, that if you sound as if you're joyful and if you sound as if you're enjoying every day that comes along, why, you're an odd bod. You're just an odd person. Doctor said to me one day, you've so much to depress you, why aren't you depressed? I'm not depressed, I just am rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. And when my life is in the pits and when it seems as if there's no way out of that pit, I am reminded of the Word of God that tells me that the Lord Jesus, he took me out of the horrible pit. He set my feet upon a solid rock, and he is that rock. And he put a new song in my mouth. There we have it. This joy that is unspeakable, there's no adjective to describe it. And people are bewildered when you're happy yet suffering. And the joy of the Lord is shining through. The many, many times one goes to somebody who is ill. Oh, if only you knew how dreadful it was. Oh, nobody's suffered like me. Well, that's true. It is true. But there's something else in the person that loves the Lord Jesus, and that's joy. Joy. I was with a dear friend. He was going to die within the next few hours. And I was visiting him in Portland. And I said to him, how is your joy? He said, top rate. Soon I shall be with Jesus, and that's far better. He leaned over to me and he said, sing with me. And when he sang, his face lit up into a beautiful scene. You could see all the beauty of the Lord Jesus in the joy that he had experienced in the 86 years of his life. It was all there in the face of that man. How glorious, how lovely. How wonderful! What a privilege it was to be with him. Yet he had cancer so bad, and it was in so many places. He had a lot to be morbid about, a lot. Yet he had no morbidity about him at all. He was filled with the joy of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a terrific testimony he had to the staff at the hospital and the people around him and us who were visiting him. While I was there, someone came by and they said, "Oh, we are so sad. You're in these last stages of life." And he said, "No, I'm in the beginning of my new life. It's been a practice tournament, as it were." These were his words. "During my lifetime, and I'm ready to go to be with Jesus, which is the ultimate thing." How precious a thought. Someone else said something like this: "I want to go home. I want to go to be with Jesus." And the more lonely we have felt on earth, the more precious is this relationship with Jesus in the future. Let your joy be full. Now, you have to let the joy be there. We have a life of power. Acts 1:8, we discover that the apostles before and after seeing the Lord Jesus, they were full of depression. Yet after there was a mighty breeze that went through the house, they were all together and they were all rejoicing and all their morbidness had gone. Christ was alive in their hearts. Jesus was living, and they saw it, and they knew it, and they were excited about it. And in Acts 1:8, you read how they responded to this new joy that was filling their souls. The apostles showed everybody the same God-given faith and courage is in us in this our day. We don't have to be defeated. We have power. Power to delight. Power to deliver. Power to determine. Power to desire the things of God. Power to achieve. Power to alleviate. And this power is immensely wonderful. We have the acceleration of power in the desire we have for God. Do you desire to meet him? Do you desire to come in front of him? My daughter was dying at one point. I was told that she was dead if I was going to be more than 10 minutes away. But when I got there, there was just a flicker of life, and I could still see the surgeons who stood around her, one massaging her chest, which is just a tiny little chest. This 5-pound baby was just vanishing before our sight. And he said, "Come on, come on, come on." And as he did, the oscilloscope showed that she had all kinds of strength. Somehow she was mustering it. And somehow the Lord Jesus was in this experience, and somehow it turned glorious. Today she's a grown woman with her own family. We were told she would never speak, she would never see, she would never hear. Oh, she would be one of those people that would lay in a bed and have to be looked after in a bed for the rest of her life, and she was just 10 days old. And 'tis true, she went backwards in those 10 days. She was born and 8 pounds and some ounces. By the time this particular time happened, she was just making it at 5 pounds, and she could not cope by herself. There had to be help. And I believe it was the prayers of people, and I believe it was prayers of the family, and the Lord Jesus opened the door of strength for her. It was a most peculiar, difficult time. Well, then we come, as we go through this sort of thinking, to see that it's a life of purity. When you do things that are impure, when you're involved in impure thinking, never mind the action, if you dwell on that, you will find yourself over and over again losing ground on this earth. In Matthew 3:11, Kenneth Wiest has translated it, "He himself will baptize you in the sphere by the means of the Holy Spirit and fire." And when you start to think that God has got this in front of us, it's a wonderful thing. The purity of life is ours. It's given to us. His blood can make the foulest clean, says the hymn writer. His Spirit purges us from impure thoughts and impure speech and impure acts and impure deeds. Just remember, we live after the Spirit, not after the flesh. We are in the Spirit with Jesus, and that Spirit is wonderfully capable of lifting us up and filling our hearts and filling our souls and bringing our minds to see things that we've never seen before. Oh, what a joy this is. Oh, what a tremendous blessing this becomes. And so it is, the life of love. And Romans 5:5 said, God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How precious this is. Love causes us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, not self, to be concerned with those around us, to be involved in a loveless world with Jesus is tremendous. It's a colossal, wonderful thing. And his love is greater than anything we can understand. I share with you that this purity is given by the blood of Jesus that made the foulest person clean. That boggles the mind. There's not only hope for your salvation, you have salvation. No matter what you've done or been, no matter where you have gone, you have the salvation of Jesus if you'll put your trust in him. And such love God has towards us, it causes us to exalt not ourselves, but him. Last of all, let me take you into this thought. When we are alive, the Lord Jesus Christ wins a great thing for us. This great thing is called his will, not our will. And we're prepared to let our lives live his will, and their expressions of Christ's compassion. All about us, a strong pride. Love is the need, the life, the act, the consummation of God's expression to us. In John 16:20, your sorrow shall be turned to joy. In verse 24 it says, ask that your joy may be full. Sometimes we ask and we don't receive because we ask amiss. Why do I want joy? So that I can be happy little Christian? No, I want to express joy. I want to be filled with joy so that I can reveal Jesus, the joy of my soul, the joy of my soul. One day I was pulling a friend of mine. He and I had been out for coffee and we were going back to his house for some reason. As we approached, his wife came out and was waving at us. And he said, "She fills me with such joy. Every time I see her, my heart races. I have a heart attack every time I see her." What a wonderful thing. But how much more wonderful when we applied that experience to the experience that we have with Jesus, our Savior. And we take him to our hearts and let him have his way with our souls, and we live for him. Now, dear friend, take hold of this Jesus. Love him. Take hold of this Jesus. He died for you and rose again from the dead. Resurrection is full of joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy that cannot be explained. Joy is not something that is easily understood, though we talk about it. Make it your experience. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ye shall receive. Say, "Lord Jesus, give me joy. Take away this morbidity within my soul. Give me grace. Let me see you as you are." And he will reveal himself to you. I have to stop, and I do apologize for my voice. I've got a nasty cold at the moment, but it'll be gone in a little while. The joy of the Lord shall be our strength. Can you say that? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now the Lord bless you, keep you, and cause his face to shine upon you and place his joy within your soul. And this may be the beginning of an unhappy day, but let the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ fill it. Get out of the way. Let God work in your soul. And the joy that is without expression will fill you to the full and will give you great satisfaction and knowledge of him who loves us and cares for us. Goodbye.